The next article in Harry's series once again deals with some of the many Presidio connections to the murders. One of the things that we looked at in connection with the series The Ultimate Evil, subtitled once again Satanism, Mind Control, and the U.S. National Security Establishment, is we looked at the Temple of Set. That is a satanic cult led by then-colonel, I believe he is now a general, Michael Aquino, an individual who was not only one of the Army's top psychological warfare experts, holding a top secret clearance, also an individual whose rights, or the rights of the Temple of Set, involved strong elements of Nazi occult ritual. The Third Reich itself, the inner core, not only the Nazi Party, but the SS in particular, did evolve out of certain strains of occultism in Europe, notably the Thule Society and some elements that were related to the Order of the Golden Dawn. The Thule Society was a pan-German occult group which had strong links to the German General Staff and German military intelligence. And many of these Nazi occult rituals became a focal point of Himmler's SS, and Michael Aquino himself has incorporated a number of them into his Temple of Set rituals. Aquino's name was mentioned in connection with the Presidio child molestation case a number of years ago. That was a case in which a number of children were sexually molested. A number of them came down with venereal disease. Aquino's was identified by one of the children as a participant in this. He was never convicted and has always strongly protested his innocence. I personally don't find either the investigation or Aquino's account to be altogether satisfying. I think much more needs to be discovered about it, although I would also say I doubt personally that much more, if any, will. But it should be noted that as we looked at in the Ultimate Evil series, there are a number of evidentiary tributaries and associational pathways between the Temple of Set and elements involved with the Process Umbrella Cult. One of the main connections is an American Satanist named Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan and himself something of a Nazi aficionado. He has a large collection of Nazi memorabilia and is known to admire at least the style, if not the substance, of the Third Reich. Now, Anton LaVey himself was associated with Colonel Aquino when he was in the Green Beret. That is to say, Aquino was in the Green Beret. Later they had a fallout. There also were a number of elements of the Manson family that got their start in the Church of Satan under Anton LaVey. So, as we note all of the connections to the Presidio here, one of the things to think about is the extent to which the Temple of Set, as I have suggested in a number of programs, either the Temple of Set and or elements of the Temple of Set, and recall, as I noted in the beginning of the broadcast, there are a number of other military intelligence officers reportedly involved with the Temple of Set. I suspect that the Temple of Set and or elements thereof may very well be a front for elements of the intelligence community. It is in this context that I want to take note of the Zodiac killings, and the next article that we're going to read is from the Napa Sentinel of Friday, December 6th of 1991. This is an article by Harry Martin, copyright Napa Sentinel. It's headlined, Zodiac, the Presidio Connections to Murders. And it reads, the murders in Sonoma have never been solved, and the Sonoma Sheriff's Department believes the Zodiac is responsible. In a letter in January of 1974, the Zodiac, if it was his letter, claimed 37 victims, which matched the findings of over 30 female homicides. But there is no solid proof that Zodiac committed all these murders. One strange link to many victims is the Presidio of San Francisco. The yellow cab driver, I would indicate that is Paul Stein, as mentioned above. Beginning again, the yellow cab driver was murdered right near the Presidio. Donna Last, the nurse that disappeared and that the Zodiac claimed was killed, was a nurse at Letterman Hospital on the Presidio. Some other female victims found murdered in San Francisco also have that same Presidio linkage. There are four unsolved murders in San Francisco that the police suspect might be associated with the Zodiac. Rosa Vasquez, V-A-S-Q-U-E-Z, who was found strangled in Golden Gate Park on May 29, 1973. Yvonne Quillantang, Q-U-I-L-A-N-T-A-N-G, found strangled at the foot of Glevez Street on June 10, 1973. Angela Thomas, found strangled at Ben Franklin Junior High School on July 2, 1973. And Nancy Gidley, G-I-D-L-E-Y, found strangled at George Washington High School on July 15, 1973. It took a very powerful man to commit the Sonoma and San Francisco murders because of the method victims were thrown into the bushes, creeks, and ravines. Vasquez, like Donna Lass, worked at Letterman Hospital in the Presidio. She lived close to where yellow cab driver Paul Stein picked up the Zodiac on the night of October 11, 1970, and right near the Pacific Union Club. Vasquez is known to have had a boyfriend who was a banker and who lived two blocks down from her. Quillantang was doing shopping at the PX in the Presidio. Thomas came to San Francisco to visit friends in the Presidio. Her master sergeant father had been stationed there. She was last seen alive in the Presidio. Gidley also had once lived by the Presidio. Next, Harry Martin sums up some of the connections, sums up the information just delineated. Harry writes, "Here are some of the ties to the Presidio. Darlene Farren lived by the Presidio with her first husband, who was in the Army. Paul Stein was shot near the Presidio, and the killer is reported to have fled into the Presidio. Donna Lass worked at Letterman Hospital in the Presidio before leaving for Lake Tahoe. Rosa Vasquez also worked at Letterman Hospital in the Presidio. Yvonne Quillantang did her shopping in the PX of the Presidio during the last week of her life. Angela Thomas was last seen alive in the Presidio, where she once lived with her military family. Nancy Gidley lived near the Presidio." In April of 1975, a girl identified only as Jackie was found murdered a block away from where Gidley lived. Jackie also worked at the Letterman Hospital in the Presidio. The center of this Zodiac investigation is a house at Washington and Maple Street, one block from the Presidio. At two of the murder scenes, footprints were left displaying a military shoe, a Wing Walker shoe. In all of these San Francisco murders, the victims were strangled slowly, like a few in Sonoma. Again, these murders all occurred on weekends, the Zodiac pattern. The San Francisco police admitted that the local killers were similar to the Sonoma County killers, but rejected the idea that the same killer was involved. Some 17 law enforcement agencies were called in to compare notes. The conference found 22 additional victims who experienced similar deaths. When the State Department of Justice combed their files, they found 56 more similar victims, bringing the total to 84. This does not mean, however, that all the murders were related. One of the problems that has blocked the case from being solved is the disagreement of various law enforcement communities over whether or not victims can be associated with the Zodiac. Each has their pet suspect and will not embrace the theories and findings of other agencies. San Francisco has a different set of suspects than Vallejo, which does not agree with Sonoma County, and Riverside County doesn't agree with anyone. Napa County has a list of suspects, but the files are sitting sealed in the sheriff's office. The Napa County Sheriff's Office says that the case is still open and the records can't be reviewed. Yet the boxes are sealed and there is no active investigation currently underway. If they will not investigate nor provide assistance in investigations, then the case will never be solved. And I would note here, once again, this last couple of sentences, the Napa County Sheriff's Office says Napa County has a list of suspects, but the files are sitting sealed in the sheriff's office. The Napa County Sheriff's Office says that the case is still open and the records can't be reviewed. Yet the boxes are sealed and there is no active investigation currently underway. If they will not investigate nor provide assistance in investigations, then the case will never be officially solved. As I indicated in the first part of this broadcast, there are a number of irregularities about the way law enforcement has handled this. As we will see later on in the program, there are a number of indications that elements of law enforcement may be involved with at least some of the killings. Once again, I recalled the Presidio child molestation case. Even though many of the children had venereal disease, specifically they were infected with chlamydia, no convictions were ever obtained, and it should be noted, too, that at least Michael Aquino and possibly other people connected with the Temple of Set, and Aquino was identified by one of the children, although he was never indicted, and he has always, as I said, protested his innocence. It should be noted that Aquino and apparently a number of other people in the Temple of Set are military intelligence people, and that suggests at least the possibility of intelligence intercession in the Presidio child molestation case. I wonder, too, whether the large number of killings of people that had an association of one kind or another with the Presidio might have something to do with the Temple of Set. And once again, I refer people to the series The Ultimate Evil, subtitled Satanism, Mind Control, and the National Security Establishment, for many of the details concerning the Presidio child molestation case, the Process Umbrella Cult, and links between them. And again, due to the volume of material that we're going to be going into this evening, I haven't got time to delineate all of these various connections, so I can only refer puzzle listeners to that particular series, once again available from Archives on Audio, P.O. Box 17-0023. That's in San Francisco, zip code 94117-0023. Phone 415-346-1840. 415-346-1840. Write or phone to the attention of Paul. The next article that we're going to go into here is the first of three articles dealing with a very strong Manson family connection to the Zodiac killings. Now, although the Manson family have been portrayed as just a bunch of crazed, murderous hippies, there are very serious indications that there are links between not only organized crime in the Manson family, but quite possibly elements of the national security establishment and the Manson family. I'm going to go into some of those later, and once again, I allude to, or I refer to, the Ultimate Evil series that people can get in access from Archives on Audio. The next article that we're going to read comes from the Napa Sentinel of Friday, January 3rd of 1992. This also is by Harry Martin, also copyright Napa Sentinel, and it's headlined, Zodiac Arrested. And it reads, there exists a sealed file in Southern California which indicates that a man surrendered to authorities who was involved in two murders. The 28-year-old man turned himself into police in November of 1970 after the murders of Sherry Joe Bates, Betty Lou Jensen, David Faraday, Darlene Farron, Cecilia Shepherd, Paul Stein, and several other murders that may be linked to the Zodiac. When the man surrendered, he was not questioned in reference to the Zodiac killings. He surrendered when the leader of this group, a leader of his group, told him to do so. The man is still imprisoned for two murders. Normally, files of convicted murderers are not sealed. This man's file is sealed and actually has a false identity number associated with it. The last time, last couple of sentences again. Normally, files of convicted murderers are not sealed. This man's file is sealed and actually has a false identity number associated with it. While investigating the crimes of this man and his group, Southern California authorities came across a startling development. It was so startling that it required a secret conference with the district attorney's office. When the law enforcement authorities found, what the law enforcement authorities found was irrefutable evidence linking this man with the Zodiac murders. The evidence included the carefully and professionally sewn hood worn in the Lake Berryessa murder of Cecilia Shepherd. But weapons linked to Zodiac killings were also found. The man who was arrested had a close association with the Mikado. Lyrics from this musical play about the Lord High Executioner were found in Zodiac notes. The man was a former newspaper editor, which might account for Zodiac's fascination with newspaper publicity. The man also had direct connections to a teletype through the newspaper, one of the clues in the Zodiac case. The man also had two scars on his chin, exactly as described by Kathleen Johns, J-O-H-N-S, after her two-hour abduction on March 22, 1970. These scars were not well publicized. After the abduction of Kathleen Johns and after she reported the scars, this man grew a beard. He fits the exact description of a man seen with Darlene Farron before she was killed, a man she stated she had seen kill someone. This man lived in Anaheim and worked on the campus of Riverside College in 1966, where Sherry Joe Bates was killed. Within days of her body being found, he abruptly left Anaheim and moved to Washington State. The man was not only a student of Scientology, but worked in the Scientology mailroom in London. In the Zodiac notes, it indicates that man is the most dangerous animal of all. The same philosophy appears in Scientology literature. I would interrupt here, and I'll note this again. One of the things that we looked at in the Ultimate Evil series was that the process umbrella cult sort of skims people off of other occult and or cult organizations. Two of the organizations they generally target are the Church of, or two of the main organizations targeted are the Church of Scientology and people practicing the Wiccan religion. I don't know why those particular groups are the main targets of the process umbrella cult as far as recruiting, but at least on the basis of the circumstantial evidence available, those are the two main organizations in which the process cult seeks people to be converted or coerced into their organization. My guess is there are other organizations as well that have fallen prey to them, but the Scientologists, an organization I don't have a whole lot of use for myself, and the Wiccan religion appear to be the two main organizations targeted by the process umbrella cult. Continuing here. The dangerous group that this man belonged to had connections with the highest circles of society and was able to attract financing from these circles. This man was arrested on October 12, 1969, and released on October 22, 1969. Paul Stein was murdered on October 11, 1969. Darlene Farron indicated that the man she saw kill someone, and of whom she was afraid, had just returned from out of state. This man returned to the state of California right at the same time Darlene had made her statement. Records show he owned some vehicles which were described by victims or witnesses. Much of the information fell into the hands of Southern California law enforcement, but they had a problem. They had the man dead to rights for two murder convictions, and they felt the introduction of the Zodiac concept might jeopardize a guaranteed conviction. They also felt that he would be punished for murder, so why take a chance in compounding the case? Southern California law enforcement officials did not consider the Zodiac a major priority. After all, most of the known murders took place in Northern California. But perhaps the most convincing argument the law enforcement agency used in hushing up the case was the fact that it would cost $2.5 million for a Zodiac trial, and several police jurisdictions would become involved. The Southern California Law Enforcement Agency did not have a high regard for Northern California law enforcement, considering them local yokels. Despite the evidence, the Southern California Law Enforcement Agency made an arbitrary decision to seal the Zodiac material and the files on this man. They decided to prosecute him for two murders, get a conviction, and have the man punished. This information was never communicated to Northern California or the State Attorney General's office, and is only known by a virtual handful of officers. But this man was not alone in the killings, and they were not just random murders. They had a specific purpose. Darlene Farron apparently knew what the purpose was because she associated with the man and his group. It was such a sinister and shocking purpose that she revealed to her sister the fact that soon she would be able to read about a very big story in the newspapers. That big story was the agenda of the team Zodiac, and the invention of Zodiac was not even on the drawing board at the time. It was used for convenience to protect the cause for which 37 people eventually died. The 37 are not all the victims generally associated with Zodiac. They include even a few famous names. Who was this man? What was the plot? What group did he associate with? How does he tie in with some of the other suspects? What other proof exists? By the way, I will indicate that, once again, that the Harry Martin series on the Zodiac killings is massive. Due to all of the other material that I want to go over, I'm only going into some of the connections. And I would also state that I don't necessarily agree with all of the conclusions that Harry has come to. I think the reportage itself is brilliant, and I think many of his conclusions are accurate, but I think that he perhaps has been a little too quick to dismiss some of the Team Zodiac, as he refers to them, and their connections not only to certain satanic practices, but specifically the Manson family's process umbrella cult. Let's take a look at some of the information which is discussed in this particular article. First of all, one of the things that is very, very interesting is that this particular individual, and by the way, as we will see in our next story, his name is Bruce Davis, a member of the Manson family, this particular individual's file was sealed and has a false identity number associated with it. Why? Again, why would this file be sealed? Why did it decide to have a false identity number? Generally, the files of convicted murderers are not sealed. This is one of a number of irregular legal practices, or I perhaps should say irregular illegal practices, which are associated with the investigation into the Zodiac case, and it is characteristic of the things that I think indicate something more than just lone nuts or even an organized crime syndicate. It looks to me as if there is some sort of institutional involvement in these killings, because strings appear to be able to be pulled that I do not think would be pulled if we were simply dealing with a bunch of hustlers and drug addicts, or even perhaps pornographers. I would note, too, that the individual arrested by Southern California law enforcement authorities also had been involved with the musical play The Mikado, which talks about the Lord High Executioner, as we will see, not only the Zodiac Killer, as we looked at in the first program, but also the Manson family identified with the Lord High Executioner concept from The Mikado. I would note, too, that this particular individual had a background in newspaper editing. This might, as Harry suggests, account for the Zodiac Killer's fascination with sending taunting notes to the newspapers as well as the police. I would note, too, that this particular individual had two scars on his chin. The individual who abducted Kathleen Johns for 2 hours in an attempt on her life also had these two scars. As we will see shortly after this, this particular individual, again his name as we will see, was Bruce Davis. He grew a beard, and that this same description of a man with two scars on his chin fits the name of a man who was seen with Darlene Farren and who apparently was hassling her or attempting to coerce her in some way. I will also note that this individual worked construction on the Riverside College campus. It was on that campus that Sherry Joe Bates, quite possibly the first of the Zodiac Killers, was dispatched at roughly about Halloween in 1966. I would also note that this individual worked in the mailroom of the Church of Scientology's London office, and once again with the Process Umbrella Cult, of which the Manson family and the Son of Sam killings were two of the most prominent elements, one of the groups that is generally targeted by the Process Umbrella Cult for recruiting is the Church of Scientology. As a result, there are considerable elements of intersection between them. It is interesting, too, that as we have seen, and I'll reread this paragraph, speaking of this man, and again, as we will see in the next article, his name is Bruce Davis, this man was arrested on October 12, 1969, and released on October 22, 1969. Paul Stein was murdered on October 11, 1969. Darlene Farren indicated that the man she saw kill someone, and of whom she was afraid, had just returned from out of state. This man returned to the state of California right at the same time Darlene had made her statement. Records show he owned some vehicles which were described by victims or witnesses. And in the next article, we're going to take a look at who this particular individual is. Once again, one of the things that I find most significant and most compelling about the Zodiac series that Harry has delineated here is the fact that there are a number of very serious irregularities vis-a-vis the way the case has been investigated. Why would a convicted murderer's file be sealed with a false identity number on it? Why would private detectives investigating the case be ordered by a judge not to go into it? Why, indeed, would the Napa Police Department appear to be deliberately frustrating investigations into this particular case? And I would also note the considerable degree of intersection between this individual, a documented member of the Manson family, and a number of the killings that were definitely or quite possibly associated with the Zodiac Killer. We're now going to proceed with a hard discussion of this fellow, Bruce Davis. That is the name of the Manson family member that we looked at earlier. A few engineering adjustments. There we go. The fellow described in the previous article, the January 3rd, 1992 Napa Sentinel article, is a Manson family member named Bruce Davis. Now recall the numerous circumstantial connections to some of the verified or possible Zodiac killings. Remember also that this individual is a convicted murderer, and in spite of that fact, his files are sealed and have a false identity number. That is a very unusual thing for a convicted murderer. The next Napa Sentinel article that we're going to go into comes from the Napa Sentinel of Tuesday, January 7th of 1992. This particular article is headlined, Zodiac, the Charles Manson Connection. It is once again by Harry Martin, and it's copyright Napa Sentinel, 1992. The article reads, the reason why the Southern California Law Enforcement Agency decided to bury the Zodiac case and the evidence it collected was to protect the case they were prosecuting. Some weapons and a professionally sewn hood, believed to be associated with the Zodiac murders, were confiscated in an October 1969 raid of a Death Valley ranch. The Zodiac claimed 37 murders, and it was a team effort. But in tracing various murders, it has been learned that some of the suspected Zodiac killings may not have been Zodiac at all, while other murders that were not associated with the Zodiac... While other murders that were not associated with the Zodiac case should have been. The Southern California Law Enforcement Agency had a different agenda than its Northern California counterparts. Northern California was the scene of the Zodiac murders. Southern California wasn't, or at least that was the perception. The Southern California Law Enforcement... The Southern California Law Enforcement Agencies had an ironclad death penalty case on their suspect without the Zodiac case. Because of the multi-jurisdictional problems involved in prosecuting the Zodiac, the estimates of a trial in 1970 was $2.5 million. The Southern California authorities felt that they could lose their suspect to other murder charges. They felt that their suspect would be sufficiently punished, and therefore there was no need to raise the Zodiac case. The suspect's file was sealed, and with it, evidence in the Zodiac case. But there was another factor involved as well. The law enforcement officials were exhausted and burned out, having investigated another series of murders. They didn't need the additional details of the Zodiac case. Two detectives from San Francisco visited Southern California. And may have been given the facts of the Southern California discoveries. The two detectives returned to San Francisco and remained mute about what they had learned in Southern California about the Zodiac case. This silence was not typical of these officers. Even Attorney General Evel Younger, a candidate for governor, agreed to keep the findings quiet. Remember these last two details, we'll come back to it. The organization which owned the evidence in the Zodiac case ironically was sharing headlines with the Zodiac. The suspect focused on by the Southern California law enforcement agencies was Bruce Davis, a 26-year-old man who not only held the evidence seized, but who also had many matching features of the Zodiac. Davis was a principal disciple and member of the Charles Manson family. In construction work in 1966, Davis lived in Anaheim and worked on a construction project at Riverside Junior College. Sherry Joe Bates was murdered on October 30, 1966, during a full moon. Davis abruptly left the area within days of the murder and went to Washington State without leaving any forwarding address. At the time of Sherry Joe Bates' death, Davis was not part of the Manson family. It should be noted that no credit was taken for Bates' murder until 1969, after the death of Darlene Farren in Vallejo. The Manson family were taught the concept of sex slaves in paradise, which is exactly the verbiage used in the Zodiac letters. The reference to the Mikado in the Zodiac letters becomes more frightening as the Manson concept is interwoven. Not only did Davis participate in the Mikado, but so too did Manson. And the Manson family endeared themselves to the concept of the Lord High Executioner, the lead role in the Mikado. One of the more frightening aspects of one Zodiac note was the phrase, quote, a little list of society's offenders, unquote. Some of Manson's targets were society characters. Manson also incorporated the process in his work and was even featured in the Process magazine after his conviction for murder. The process has been linked to satanic rituals. The process emblem is a cross in a circle, very similar to that used by the Zodiac and one in Manson's San Quentin cell and on his body. The symbol, under the process definition, means, quote, Christ, Lord and Master of Death, unquote. Davis worked in the London mailroom of the Church of Scientology in 1968. He returned to California at the same time Darlene Farren indicated that a man who came back after being out of state was the man she saw commit a murder. She was afraid of him and told her sister that a major story would be printed in the newspaper very soon. That was on July 3, 1969. Manson's Helter Skelter plan, a race war, was scheduled to be launched on August 1, 1969. Was this the story Darlene was alluding to? Darlene was killed about the same time other drug dealers were slain. In order to launch the Helter Skelter plan and finance it, Manson had ordered a tighter control of drug sales. Those dealers who did not cooperate were slain. Several months before her death, Darlene had run-ins with a man fitting Davis's description, but not necessarily him. The man questioned Darlene constantly about her source of funds. She was spending more than her waitress wages and was questioned about it. Several dealers who did not pay up or account for funding were killed by the Manson family around July of 1969. Darlene could have been one of those victims. A lot of the Manson family lived in Vallejo, Napa, and Benicia. In fact, records at San Quentin, where Manson was on death row, show signatures of visitors from this area. The death of 18-year-old Robin Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M, in November of 1970 fit the pattern of the Farron murder and the Kathleen Johns abduction. A car would pull up behind, drive off, and return again, parking in an angle similar to a CHP stop. A 1953 Corvette was reported at the scene of Graham's abduction, the same model and make owned by Davis. Davis also owned a 60 Chevy Impala, another link to Zodiac. All the Zodiac letters posted from San Francisco occurred while Davis was in the Bay Area. When he was once incarcerated at Pleasanton, a Zodiac letter was mailed. When he was in jail in Southern California, it again coincided to the exact dates the Zodiac letters were sent with the Southern California postmarks. Davis was arrested the day after San Francisco cab driver Paul Stein's murder. He lived in Northern California from December of 1968 to December 1969, the same time zone as the Zodiac Northern California murders. He was in Lake Tahoe at the time of Donna Lass's disappearance. The body of Charles Manson's uncle was found in London at the end of November 1969. Davis has always been the prime suspect in that murder. The body had many savage stab wounds similar to those experienced by Sherry Jo Bates and Cecilia Shepherd. The body and the area where the body was found all bore Zodiac symbols. The London police never linked the California Zodiac case to the murder, probably because they were not aware of it. The most compelling evidence in this case, besides Davis's physical features, after Kathleen Johns described her abductor as having two scars on his chin, Davis immediately grew a beard hiding two scars on his chin, dates, and linkage to Zodiac crimes is the fact that hard evidence was apparently seized by law enforcement in 1970. That last sentence, again, that's sort of awkward. The most compelling evidence in this case, besides Davis's physical features, after Kathleen Johns described her abductor as having two scars on his chin, Davis immediately grew a beard hiding two scars on his chin, dates and linkage to Zodiac crimes, is the fact that hard evidence was apparently seized by law enforcement in 1970. But Davis did not work alone. He had the help of the Manson family. But who helped to finance the Manson family? Who used them in murder for hire? Who supplied them with their drugs? What other hard evidence exists? And what does the house and the man at Washington and Maple Street have to do with all this? Well, let's take a few minutes now to review some of the central points in this particular article. In the first place, once again, we see some extraordinary irregularities in the way law enforcement has handled the case. I can understand, perhaps, why they would be reluctant to prosecute someone for the Zodiac killings when they already had what they considered to be an airtight case. But at the same time, after that, assuming they didn't want to prosecute him, why is his file sealed and why does it have a false filing number? That is an extraordinary piece of information. Really doesn't compute under the circumstances. Beyond that, two Northern California detectives came down to investigate this particular case. They apparently were given information on it, and yet they have been uncharacteristically taciturn about the information. Once again, I think we need to ask why that is going on. Something that I found very fascinating was that former Attorney General Evel Younger, also former District Attorney for Los Angeles, the fellow who prosecuted Saran Saran, framed for the assassination of Robert Kennedy, Evel Younger also agreed to keep the findings silent. One of the things that we looked at in our Ultimate Evil series was the fact that among the motivations for the Manson family killings may have been, and we should note that whenever the national security establishment operates in any particular regard, they generally operate when to conduct a particular operation will scratch a number of different itches at different levels simultaneously. And in addition to organized crime connections, there appears to be very strong evidence of a national security connection to some of these cults, the Process Umbrella Cult in particular. It should be noted that Roman Polanski and Sharon Tate Both have been key managers of Robert Kennedy's campaign in the Los Angeles area. At a dinner at the home of Tate and Polanski the night before Robert Kennedy was assassinated, he announced his intention to reopen the investigation into his brother's murder after he was elected president. Well, of course, he was assassinated the next day. Roman Polanski was lucky enough to be away from the house. Sharon Tate was not, so she was dispatched along with Wojciech Frykowski, Abigail Folger, and the other people who perished at the Cielo Drive house when the Manson family death squad struck. I would also note, as we looked at, in the Ultimate Evil series, there are a number of intersections between many of the legal people who falsely prosecuted Saran. Saran appears to have been a mind-control patsy. The most probable killer of Robert Kennedy was a fellow named Thane Eugene Caesar, employed in the Lockheed Burbank facility in an area, a very secure area, associated with the CIA's U-2 project. He also was a white supremacist, and at last word was coordinating Klan and Nazi party activities in the Southern California area, at least that according to verbal report. It should be noted, too, that a veteran intelligencer named Ed Butler, a fellow who had been involved with recording Lee Harvey Oswald, and recording Oswald as saying he was a Marxist and a communist and so forth, this recording was broadcast all over the country, and Ed Butler had been associated, when he recorded Lee Harvey Oswald, a quote Marxist unquote, with an intelligence front called the Information Council of the Americas, very closely affiliated with the CIA's anti-Castro project in southern Florida. I would also, actually, that was in New Orleans, but the CIA's California project, the CIA's anti-Castro project was, of course, based in Florida. I would note, too, that Ed Butler was at a conference the night after Robert Kennedy was shot. This conference was held by Anthony Hilder and John Steinbacher, two individuals associated with an organization called American United, and he was there at this press conference at which the killing of Robert Kennedy was blamed on Fidel Castro and communists and everybody else but those who did it. Ed Butler later worked for a fellow named Patrick Frawley, one of the key financial backers of Ronald Reagan, and he wrote an article, and this is in Radio Free America 12 and the Ultimate Evil series. He wrote an article blaming the Manson family killings on the Black Panthers and leftist radicals. So there are a number of evidentiary tributaries between the investigations, not only into Robert Kennedy's assassination, but that of John Kennedy, and as odd as it would seem, the Process Umbrella Cult, the Manson family, etc. So I would note, once again, that Evel Younger, the individual who falsely or incorrectly prosecuted Saran for the assassination of Robert Kennedy, thereby covering up the real assassins of Robert Kennedy. And by the way, Radio Free America program number 9 goes into the assassination of Robert Kennedy. I would note, too, that Evel Younger was also a high-ranking officer in the Air Force Reserve. It should be noted that Bruce Davis, again a member of the Manson family, was working at a construction job on Riverside, on the campus of Riverside City College. That is where Sherry Joe Bates was killed, just before Halloween during a full moon, once again suggesting at least the possibility of a satanic connection. Halloween is held as a holiday by Satanist groups, and the Manson family and the Process Umbrella Cult, as well as the perpetrators of Zodiac, which appear to be intersected with them, used occult practices as a cover for their much more political and temporal activities. I would note, too, that the Manson family group taught its adherents the concept of sex slaves in paradise, and this is a theme that runs through many of the Zodiac notes as well. Once again, as we noted in the previous article, the Manson family, as well as the Zodiac killer, appear to have a considerable preoccupation with the musical play The Mikado, and in particular the concept of the Lord High Executioner, that is a central figure in The Mikado. I would also note, too, that Charles Manson was figured prominently in the Process Umbrella Cult's literature. He appears to have had contacts with that group. In particular, Manson was featured in the Process literature after his conviction. I would note, too, the similarity between the Process Umbrella Cult symbol and that of the Zodiac symbol and the symbols that Charles Manson had on his prison cell at San Quentin and on his body as well. I would also note, as we looked at in the Ultimate Evil series, there is a considerable intersection between Nazism and Satanism, both the original Nazis in Germany prior to and during World War II and the so-called neo-Nazis that we find today. I would note that the Process Umbrella Cult's symbol is also quite like a swastika. I would note, too, that Bruce Davis, as we looked at earlier, worked in the London, in the mailroom of the London branch of the Church of Scientology. I would note, too, that Bruce Davis returned to California at the same time as Darlene Farren indicated that a man she saw kill someone returned from out of state. Farren also says that a major story would break, this just before she was killed, on July 4th, 1969. Now, Manson's helter-skelter scenario, which was to be an all-out race war between blacks and whites in the United States, was projected by Manson to begin on August 1st of 1969. Harry Martin asks the question whether perhaps that is the big story that Darlene Farren knew was about to break. I would also note, as we looked at in this particular story, that the Manson Group undertook to gain control of the drug trade as a means for gaining the requisite funds to pull off his helter-kelter scenario. Note also that Darlene Farren had run-ins with a man who fit Davis's description and who questioned her about her source of funds. As we looked at in the first article and we'll look at again later, Darlene Farren appears to have lived well beyond her means and in all probability was involved in the drug trade. Many of the many members of the Manson Group were living in Vallejo, Napa, and Benicia. That is where many of the Zodiac killings have occurred, and where many of the killings that may have been associated with Zodiac also occurred. I would note that a woman named Robin Graham's death was quite similar to the M.O. used in the Farren murder and the Kathleen Johns abduction, where a car would pass, the car being driven by these single unescorted women. The car would then return and park at an angle blocking their car, their path of advance, similar to the way a CHP officer would block them. I would note, too, that Bruce Davis owned a 53 Corvette, the same model car that was reported at the scene of Robin Graham's abduction. Davis also owned a 1960 Chevy Impala, yet another link to some of the Zodiac killings. Davis was in Northern California while the Zodiac letters were mailed from San Francisco, and he was in Southern California during the period that Zodiac letters were posted from there. Davis was arrested right after Paul Stein's murder in San Francisco in December of 1968, and I would note, too, that in the period of December 68 through December of 69, the time corresponding to the Northern California Zodiac killings, Bruce Davis was in Northern California. He also, as noted in Harry's article, was in Lake Tahoe at the time of Donna Lass's appearance. That also was a killing, although her body has never been found. Her killing was claimed by the Zodiac, yet another killing that Bruce Davis may have been associated with. One of the most fascinating alleged killings or possible killings that Bruce Davis may have been involved in was the body of Charles Manson's uncle, who was found in London at the end of November of 69. Now, Davis was in Northern California, at least residing in Northern California. One wonders whether perhaps a colleague of Davis or perhaps Davis traveled, performed that particular murder. Whatever or whoever the killer of Charles Manson's uncle was, the body was covered with deep and savage stab wounds, similar to many of the Zodiac killings and the victims of the Zodiac killings. And interestingly enough, the area where the body was found had some of the Zodiac symbols all around it, suggesting, again, a very probable link between some of the Manson family killings and some of their other depredations and the Zodiac crimes proper. Once again, I will state that there appear to be a number of different people involved in the Zodiac killings. Not all of them were connected to the Manson organization and or the Process Umbrella Cult, but some of the most important appear to have been, and it is the Manson family and the Process Umbrella Cult, and quite possibly the Temple of Set as well, hence the Presidio connections, or that is why I went into the Presidio connections, that do have connections to the National Security Establishment, and once again, that is the focus of this particular program. That's why I'm highlighting these particular aspects of Harry Martin's series.